With society's endless expectations upon you and mental health and anxiety issues on the rise, finding your true authentic self can be challenging. Being your true self is a key and never a mistake, because you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically. Join Dr. Kim R. Grimes as she creates a safe space and initiates influential conversations about you being you. Listen to discussions featuring step-by-step guides, techniques, and principles that you can sink your teeth into about uncovering your greatness, triggering a mindset shift, and living beyond your limiting beliefs. The time to connect with who you were created to be and fall madly, in love with you starts now. Here's your host, Dr. Kim R. Grimes.
Let's give yourself a hand. Yay! Welcome, welcome, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Thank you guys for being here with me. You are on You Are You, Unapologetically, the podcast where we celebrate truth, individuality, and real life transformation. I'm your host, Dr. Kim R. Grimes, and I am so glad, I am so happy, I am so grateful that you are here. We talk a lot about women breaking glass ceilings, but what about the ceilings we can't even see? What about the ones made of doubt, dismissal, and double standard? When you think of female entrepreneurship, you might picture hustle, freedom, and passion. But behind every glossy brand and carefully curated girl boss post is a story rarely told, a story of individual barriers, subtle, silent, and sometimes soul crushing. What does it feel like to walk into a room and be the only one who looks like you, right? To carry the weight of expectations from your culture, from your family, and what about your community, while trying to build a business from scratch? What does it feel like? What happens when you are underestimated before you even speak, before you even open your mouth, or when success still doesn't quiet the imposter syndrome in your head, or what I like to say, that head chatter, right? This episode isn't about surface level empowerment. It's about the raw stuff, the emotional labor, the mental gymnastics, the identity juggling act. It's about what happens in the in-between moment, the moment no one claps for. So if you felt unseen, second-guessed, or straight up exhausted trying to prove yourself, this one, this episode is for you. Let's pull back the curtain on what it really means to be a woman building her own lane unapologetically. So today's episode is for the women building empires, the women building businesses and legacies, but doing it while carrying invisible weight. We're talking about the unseen struggle of female entrepreneurs, those invisible barriers, those hidden battles that don't show up on Instagram, in a pitch meeting, or behind the polished branding. So many women are grinding in silence, dealing with doubts, juggling, caregiving, overcoming being underestimated, and constantly proving themselves in male-dominated spaces. If you ever felt like your hard work doesn't or isn't or hasn't been taken seriously, or like success comes at the cost of your peace, this episode is for you. I'm just saying. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about why is this topic so important? Because women-owned businesses are one of the fastest growing segments of entrepreneurship. Yet, we still face unique challenges from lack of funding or access to funding, gender bias, juggling unpaid care, working hard, to cultural conditionings that tells women to play nice or stay in the background. We're navigating more than just business plans. We are. This conversation matters because when we name the barriers, we can start breaking them, not just for ourselves, but for the women coming behind us, the women coming behind you and me. Yes, we need to normalize these struggles and create space for honest conversation, support, and real strategy. This topic is important because the struggle of female entrepreneurship or entrepreneurs, these struggles are too often invisible, minimized, or dismissed entirely. So we live in a world that celebrates women's success, but rarely acknowledges the unique battles we fight to get there, from cultural expectations and, like I said, gender bias. But then we also have internalized doubt and burnout. Women face these barriers and they're not easy. They're not always loud, but they're constant. We leave women to think, maybe it's just me, when in reality, it's the system. When we don't talk about these things, we normalize silence. So this conversation creates space for validation. It creates space for truth-telling, and it creates space for dismantling the myth that success must come at a cost of well-being, that success must come at a cost of my identity or my authenticity. It matters because representation isn't just about who's visible. It's about whose struggles are made visible. And when we give voice to the unseen, when we give voice to our struggles, we give back power. We give, what I say, powerful or power back to women living through it. So it's about giving voice to our struggles, giving voice to the unseen so that we can get our power back. Today, I am joined by someone I deeply respect. I can't wait to introduce you to my guest. She is a founder and a fellow woman in business who has pushed through invisible walls to build what she has. She is not just a business owner. She is resilient. She's bold and unapologetically powerful. She has a voice for women doing it, and she's doing it afraid and doing it anyway. Oh my goodness. I just can't wait to introduce you to my guest. Oh, our guest today. Our guest today, she is a visionary spiritual leader, entrepreneur, and passionate advocate for the empowerment of women as a catalyst for family transformation. What? Wait, with a unique calling to prepare the bride of Christ, beginning with women, she has dedicated her life to equipping women and young girls, both spiritually and professionally. As the founder of Women of God Ministries, our guest leads a vibrant and growing community of women with a mission centered on faith, transformation, and lasting community impact. Her ministry focuses on helping women discover their identity in Christ, live purposefully, and walk in freedom and authority. What? I'm saying, wait, in addition to her pastoral calling, she is the founder of Mrs. B Cuisine et Delice, a thriving catering company specializing in African cuisine infused with a Western twist. Get that, right? Through this venture, she has created meaningful opportunities for employment, mentorship, and entrepreneurship, particularly for women and young professionals, while celebrating cultural richness through food. That sounds yummy to me. With a background in advocacy and a deep passion for prayer and teaching, she integrates biblical truth with practical strategies. Her message empowers women to rediscover their God-given identity, understand their purpose, rebuild their lives, and lead with the grace and integrity. A devoted wife, mother, sister, and servant leader, see our guest, her life is a powerful testimony of God's grace, perseverance, and faithfulness, whether preaching from the pulpit or leading in the marketplace. Yes, indeed, she remains steadfast in one mission: to equip others to live for Christ, lead faithfully, and be the change they desire to see, beginning in their families and reaching into the world. Please, please, please help me to welcome Pastor Belize Kurizera Budagama. Please help me to welcome her to URU Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am so glad that you're here. Thank you, 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 thank you for saying yes and being here today. We're so grateful that you're here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So before we jump into our juicy topic of the unseen struggles of female entrepreneurs, right, that invisible barriers, please share with our listeners how the two of us met.
Hi, thank you for having me again, Dr. Kim. It's a pleasure to be here. Your show is as vibrant as you are. We met in America, actually, for Women Enterprise. That was March this year, actually. It was an amazing, wonderful experience. And it was an eye-opener. And also, for me personally, when we talked and we discussed your journey, my journey, it was undeniable that we share a lot of things. And one of them being that we have dreams, we have visions, we are entrepreneurs, and above all, we are women of faith. So that, to me, that was the highlight.
Yes. So thank you again for agreeing to be on URU Unapologetically. Today, our topic is the unseen struggles for female entrepreneurs. And so what I would love for you to share as we jump into this conversation is, what led you to be an entrepreneur or to entrepreneurship? What was it?
Well, passion. I read somewhere that whatever it is that you love doing before the age of seven, because by the time you are seven, you have been nurtured into something that conforms to where you were raised, how you were raised. But if that thing that you loved before anything else was added to it, that is your passion, that is your calling. So from a tender age, I loved cooking. I loved cooking. I will burn myself and I will scatter my mom's kitchen.
Wow.
So now when I moved to the UK after getting married and I had children, there was a lot of lonely moment, like for any other mom with little ones. So my way of relaxing myself with limited possibilities of meeting other people, because by then the only outgoings I had were at a park or play place, you know, not the thing that you would.
Little people stuff, and you were surrounded by little people.
Literally. And you would dream for a day out with the girls. So I, with my passion of cooking, so I started cooking, and I had friends that had little ones as well. So every time we would meet, it would be to do with the little ones. But I started cooking for them, and people were starting to say, oh, we love your food. Oh, this is nice. Oh, this is lovely. How did you make this? And I was like, okay. And then a friend of mine was like, why are we always eating your food free of charge?
Right.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And her husband, they moved out of the UK. They relocated somewhere else. But they were the ones that were encouraging me. You can make money out of this. They loved, we have these things that we make. Nigerians will call them puff puff, but we call them mandazi. So they are like donuts type of things. And I will make them, and everybody, every party will go to. So I started getting, being recognized as the mandazi woman.
Wow.
So that's how I started the catering. And I would make cakes, I would make mandazi, I would do food. And it started from friends telling other friends, she's making this. So I would cook Christmas meals for people to take away before Christmas, Easter things. So that kind of big events. So yeah, that's how really it started, from passion, but also a need for what I was cooking, because there were not so many people that were doing it. So instead of people telling you, oh, how did you make this? Or can you make it again? It was like, with that couple opening my eyes, it was more like, how about you buy it?
Right. Yes. How about you create one? Yes.
Exactly. And I could do it around my life, the life of a mother and a little one of a pastor. So I could still do it around. And at some point I was working. I was also working, but I could still do it. At the moment, I'm not employed by someone. I work for myself, but I could still do it around all of that.
All of that. And you know what they say, if you love what you're doing, that's not work. And I appreciate you sharing, starting off with passion, right? This came about with a passion that you had for cooking. But then I also love when you said, you know, as you became a mother and you began to get a little lonely because all you had was the little people to play with, right? You just created something from that so you can get to play with, you know, more people, you know, who relate to you more than the little people. So I know I get that. And so with that, what struggle or what is a struggle that you endured, but people didn't see the struggle, right? That had you questioning yourself in that space. Like, you know, sometimes we do things and we show up and people give us the accolades and all, but they don't see the struggle. They don't see what we had to endure or go through. So can you share, are there any struggles or anything that hindered you in that space?
There were quite a few. At the beginning, it was more cultural struggle, simply because I was an immigrant from Burundi to the UK. So I was not accustomed with the way people do things but thank God for courses and training, but still with where to shop, it makes a huge difference because it will impact, for example, how much profit you're making.
Yeah.
Time management. Oh, la, 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 la. Because you have to think of, where am I going to leave the children? Who are the children going to be with? Because you're not going to turn up at an event with your children. So, and catering requires that you do it. If you're doing catering, whether for a wedding, for a party, it requires you to be there.
Yes, you have to be present.
You have to be present. It's not a delivery type of thing. You have to be, exactly. You have to be present. And with children, you have to work out, where am I going to leave them? How is it going to work? Now,
right.
The struggle with not also us, my community, let me not use the race card, but my community tends to leave things to the last minute.
Yes.
So the order would come a little bit late. Oh, can you do this next week? And it's not that I can't do it.
Right. I need more love.
There are other things that I need to put in place in order for me to do it. Now, me denying the order, that's how the word is spread that, oh, you will be lucky if she takes your order. Now you have to juggle between delivering the quality that you want to deliver.
Wow.
And keeping your image.
Yes, I hear it. I got you. I get you. Yes. So those are, and thank you for sharing that, because those are struggles that from someone on the outside looking in, meaning me as a client wanting the catering, your services, that's something that I wouldn't see, or your family members, you know, wouldn't see that. So no, I get that. Let me ask you this. In this space, during this time, have you ever been overlooked or underestimated, would you say?
100%. At the beginning, I struggled with pleasing everyone.
Oh, wow.
So I would give a quote and someone will argue about the quote. Then I will reduce the quote and ending up basically working for less than minimum wage.
Oh, my.
Yes, because what people don't understand, when they see a table being set by a caterer, they don't see the work behind it. You know, because you can say, oh, I can cook macaroni cheese myself at home. Oh, I can make, you know, and when we're talking about cakes, isn't it just eggs, sugar and flour and butter? But it takes dedication. It takes work. It takes maths, gravity. Like when you're doing layers, it takes a lot of calculation. It takes to work out this design. How long is it going to take for me to make it? And every design is different. Unless someone says, oh, you made this cake, can you repeat it? That's different. I've done it. But normally it's, can you make this? And I'm like, yes, I can. How much is it? Now, what I used to struggle with, like I said, pleasing everyone, trying to please everyone.
Right.
And I would end up working for hours on end because I cannot afford to pay someone to help me with the code that I have given.
And
because of that, I would end up being frustrated. I would end up, no, I love cooking. Right. And when I'm stressed, Kim, I'm not lying. When I'm stressed, I'll go in my kitchen. And one of my best dishes, the ones that I came up with them while I was, like, they came to my mind when I was not in the best of places.
Right.
Like I was going through something and I came up and I wanted somewhere where I can express myself. And it's in my pot that I express myself. It's in my oven. It's in my dishes. I would express myself. Yeah. I don't cook food. When I say with a twist, it means I come up with dishes anyway. So to come back, so I would do things to please people and then I would not make profit. Then I will have that discussion with my husband and be like, you told me not to go to work so that I can cover the children. And I did, but you're not making, do you know what I mean?
No, I get it.
So with time, now I've made peace with the fact that I can say, that's not the type of service that I offer. Thank you for considering me.
Right.
But you can go somewhere else. And to me, that is, if I go in the spirit, that is deliverance.
Yes.
That is deliverance.
So you shared the hidden pressures that come with your family, right? With the finance, because you're now working long hours, but not bringing in the revenue that you think based off of the hours that you put in, the hidden pressures of, you know, taking care of your family, having enough revenue or income for your family. So those are the little hidden pressures that we haven't even, you know, like that I hear you talking about. And I also hear how the different race, class, culture help shape your experience in where you are, right? And the place that you are as well. So the question that I wanted to ask you, and I'm going to ask you because I want you to share a little bit more on it, but you shared it. You shared the answer, and that was the mindset. What was the mindset shift that helped you survive or thrive? Like, was it? And one of the things you shared, but I want you to add more to it, is that you recognize that with people, when they couldn't honor the quote that you gave based on the work that you're going to do, the actual hours that you're going to put in, you then said to them, I don't do that kind of service. Like, I can't serve you at that level. And so what else, what other mindset shift that helped you get there so that you could, you know, that you're no longer surviving, but thriving?
Understanding that I'm not superwoman, because I would love to be a superwoman. I'm limited to what I can do. Like anybody else, I'm limited to what I can do. And at the end of the day, even if I make X amount of money and I look at it and I'm like, yes, I made a huge amount of money, but in the process, my back, my legs, my mental, you know, all of that has been jeopardized. Yeah. Then I didn't make anything. I didn't make anything. What? Because I've had nights where I sat in my kitchen and I cried. I've had days when I was like, no, I'm not doing it. But it's like when it's a passion, it's like being a fish. Not being a fish, but you can be taken out of your zone, but you know you're not going to survive out of your zone, because that is my calling. And one thing I always tell people is know that whatever it is you're doing, although you are struggling, if you know that it's getting you closer to the purpose for which you were created, the ministry was created out of the gathering of women that I was cooking for.
Wow. Okay.
That's how I started preaching the gospel to them. I would have women who don't know how to cook. And in my culture, like, you, how are you going to hold your home if you don't know how to cook? So I've taught women how to cook. So if I think that if I give up, then a part of me will be lost, whether I like it or not. I love cooking, not because of food. I love seeing people enjoying food, and then it brings them around the table. One of the best conversations in my family happened, and it happened around a table, around a beautiful meal.
Yes.
So to me, it's a way of bringing people together. It's a way of ministering to people.
Right.
Because if we look at Jesus himself fed people.
Yes, absolutely.
He fed people. He fed thousands with the 3 loaves of bread and fish. He fed thousands. So it was part of his ministry. So my passion, definitely, and the conviction that God is doing something with. In the long run, I want to have camps, actually. Breaking news for your show, because I haven't shared that project with anyone, but here you go.
Say it again so that I'm clear on what you're saying. You said breaking news. So share it again, like give it juicy and exciting, and tell me what this breaking news is.
In the long run, because I do couples retreats for couples, but I want to start doing camps for young people, both girls and boys. Then, because we are from a culture whereby the kitchen is the duty of the woman.
Right.
And you see, men in my generation, most of them, they don't know how to cook, or they cook for survival. But I don't want that for my daughter-in-law, for example. I want my son to be able to cook something, to look after his home when the wife is not around.
Right. And especially if when they have children and the wife may be not around, he can take care of them and cook a meal. So I have to say, so you're going to have conferences for boys and girls to help them.
In the long run, I want to run summer camps. Yeah, what I'm going to have.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Minister to them, teach them basic but beautiful dishes.
You know, that sounds so amazing, because when you talk about summer camp, the last thing you think about or hear about are camps around cooking, right? You would have to search them out specifically because, you know, someone is interested in it. But just to say, hey, send your child to this camp, I think that's phenomenal.
Thank you.
Yes, that is phenomenal. Okay, you guys, y'all heard it here first, right here on You Are You, Unapologetically. We're going to be having some summer camps around cooking for girls and boys. And as soon as I get wet, soon as I know, I'm going to put it all out. I just need you guys to know that. So you know what? You are a godsend, and I'm so grateful. I just want to say, like, as you were sharing I recognize. So what we may identify as limiting beliefs that you unlearned. I heard you said that I'm not giving up, right? Because that can be a limiting belief that like, right. Especially when, you know, you're serving and you're giving and you want feedback for your food, whether they like it or not. I'm not giving up. I'm doing this. You saw the need in the community of the women that you were serving and you were determined, right, to serve them, but not only food. And a limiting belief can be like, that's all I can give them is it's I have nothing else. And so I was just sharing that because as you're talking, I was listening to the things that you were saying that you had to unlearn so that you can protect your peace, right, while running this business, right? Protect the fact that you are a mother, you are a wife, right? And that you are an entrepreneur as well. And so in all of that, like you said after working those long hours, if your back is hurt and it doesn't equal or the return or the result or the compensation doesn't equal the effort, the love that you pour into every meal, then you're like, then what am I doing? And so I really, really appreciate that. I just want you to know that I heard that as you were sharing. But let me ask you this. What is your advice to a younger entrepreneur self, a younger you? What is your advice? And what would you tell other women who feel stuck? So that's two part. What is your advice to a younger entrepreneur you? Right? What would you tell them now of all the experience that you know and all the years that, you know, you've been doing it? What would you say to the younger you? And what would you tell other women, other entrepreneurs who are interested in starting their own business, but they feel stuck?
To my younger self would be, there is always someone who's going to be looking for what you are doing. So stop comparing yourself, because when I started, I was comparing myself and I was looking for, I knew I had the skill, but I thought I could only do it with a huge budget to start with, or that was one of the reasons. And the other one was, I always told myself, oh, what if they don't like it? What if they don't like it? What if they don't? The insecurity, what if they don't like it? And that's where I believe that my faith played a role in it, because I remember, and I still do, I will finish to cook. That's why people, I can teach people how to cook. I can, and I do, but I always tell them there is something more than that. I pray for my food.
Right.
I pray for my food. I bless the food.
Special love.
I love what I'm doing. I'm dedicated to it, so I don't cut corners. And this is, remember when I say, this is my price. If you don't like this price, there'll be someone else you can go for. That's because, you know, I will not use margarine instead of butter. If it requires butter, I will use butter.
Butter, right, exactly.
So do you know what I mean? So if I will not give you the wrong quality of meat to cut corners, no, I will give you, and I will not give you a shot. I hate when I cook and the food is not enough. So I always do more. So, you know, those little things that, so because of that, I would say, this is my price. I know what I'm offering. My younger self doubted what she was offering. And because she doubted what she was offering, she would bend rules.
Yes.
And it would take a toll on herself. So I would tell myself, know your worth.
Yes.
Know your worth.
I love it. Say it again. Say it again.
I'll say, know your worth. Know your worth, my sister. Know your worth. And because, listen, I am a child of the Most High God.
Yeah.
There is a spirit of excellence on my God. Yeah. So when I do things, I want things to represent not just the woman that I am, but the God that I serve.
Yes.
I want you to taste it and say, there's something about it. Yeah, I know. And I can't tell you what it is because I don't know. That's the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I can give you the recipe, but I can't tell you.
They got all involved in the dish. Exactly.
So to my younger self, know your worth.
Yeah.
Know your worth and push. People will try to discourage you. Things will try to discourage you. But push. Push, Belize. Push. There is a light at the end of this. Push. And that's the message I'm still telling myself to this day. Not just my younger self. Because yesterday's obstacle, I might have overcame it. There is today's obstacle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow, I love it. And so push for those who feel stuck. Push your way through. There's the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, push and know your worth, period.
That's it.
So please take this time to share with our listeners. How can they connect with you? See, I want to eat your food. Like, you look, you got my mouth salivating. I'm just like, I'm ready to eat your food. But tell our listeners, how can they connect with you? Like, feel free. Like, is it a website? Do you want to give your email, LinkedIn, social media? However, please share with our listeners.
So on LinkedIn is Belize Cuisera, so my name. And then you will find my details there. But then it's Mrs. B Cuisine, Mrs. B Cuisine. And so you can use my contact telephone number 07522 in the UK. I was told that in the UK, we have this problem. We never add a code. So now the code is 0044. That's the British code. Yeah. 75226144 31.
There you have it.
Yeah. And then LinkedIn. Yeah.
Perfect. Oh, my goodness. This was so amazing. This was so juicy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I'm telling you, I want to taste your cooking. Like, I'm like,
anytime you stop in the UK,
I'm coming. I just need you to know. But I'm trying to, you know, take that swallow, get, you know, to manage what you just talking to you and how and listening to how you pour into what you do, what your cooking is. I'm like, yeah, I want to eat some of that. I can't wait. So thank you. Thank you, Pastor Belize. I truly, truly appreciate you taking the time out and being here with us and sharing how you are you unapologetically. And so thank you again and again and again.
Thank you so much for having me. And to all those women out there that have that dream and everything around them is telling them that it's impossible, sis, pray about it.
Yeah.
Pray about it. Ask God for guidance.
Yeah.
And most importantly, ask God that He reveals to you who you are in Him. God bless.
That is so amazing. So with that, we're going to take a short break, you guys, and I'll be back. I'll be back. So I'm back. Oh, my goodness. Wasn't Pastor Belize scrumptious? Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to sink my teeth into some of her delicious cooking. I just can't wait. So let's break this down even further. I'm just so grateful for how she, Pastor Belize, shared. But I also need to say this. I want to say this. You are not crazy for feeling like it's harder than it looks. No, you're not crazy. You're not crazy at all. As a female entrepreneur, I have a few invisible barriers myself that I, along with other female entrepreneurs, face daily. And I just want to share a few of them with you. First, emotional labor. Mm-hmm. You and I, we're as female entrepreneurs, we are expected to smile, to be likable, to say yes to every meeting, and still hold the business together. That's exhausting. Wouldn't you all agree? Because it is. The lack of capital or access to capital. Women receive less than 3% of all venture capital funding. Less than 3%. Not because our ideas aren't brilliant, but because the system still favors men. Balancing family expectation, another invisible barrier. See, you might be building a business from your kitchen table, like Pastor Belize was, while caring for her children or a sick parent and being a wife, right? Number four. Being dismissed or talked over is another invisible barrier. You guys, give me a shout out, type in the comment, or if you're listening and someone's sitting next to you, just raise your hand, right? If you ever had to bring a man into the room just to get taken seriously by investors or suppliers. See, I know I am definitely not alone on this topic, on this barrier, and neither are you. The truth is this. There are not personal problems. These are systematic patterns. But once we see them, we can begin to fight smarter and not just harder. That's right. Fight smarter and not just harder, because that's what we do. So I want to make sure that you guys have some takeaways from this conversation. And so here's what I'm hoping that you got from this conversation and from our guests, that you're not alone. The hard stuff is real. It is real, but so is your power. You don't have to do it all. Community is a strategy. Make sure you join one, or you build your own tribe or community. Here's one I love. Rest is not quitting. It's not quitting. It's rebuilding, refreshing, and rejuvenating. That's what rest is all about. And you do not have nothing to prove. You do not have anything to prove. You already belong. You're doing what you're doing. And here's the thing. You are enough. You're more than enough. So every story of a struggle is also a story of resilience. You're writing yours every single day. I'm writing mine every single day. This is what we're doing. So let me share this empowerment reminder with you. Say this with me, or repeat it to yourself after I say it, whatever makes it easy for you. I am not behind. I am not broken. I am building something beautiful, and I don't need permission to do it my way, because you don't need permission. Being a woman's business is revolutionary. So keep going. You are you unapologetically. And that is the most powerful brand in the world. Your brand. Now, I definitely can't leave you guys without some action steps, because we have to take action. So if you are someone who has been impacted by this message, or you are dealing with invisible barriers or struggles, here's what I want you to do. I want you to journal about one, just one of your invisible struggles that you have been carrying. I want you to journal about it. And then I want you to write yourself a love letter for surviving it, for still being here with us and enduring and going through. Write yourself a love letter. That's it. That's right. Love yourself, or love on yourself. Then what I want you to do is I want you to send a message of encouragement to another woman in business, just to encourage her. You don't know what she may be going through, what she needs, what she's lacking. But I know this: together we rise, period. So I want you also to, if you have a story about an unseen struggle or breakthrough that you experience, please, please, please comment, right? You can comment, email me, or share it with me on any of my social media channels. Believe me, your story can help another woman feel seen, feel heard, your story. And maybe we can feature it on one of our future episodes and feature you as well. So be sure to share, okay? And like, whenever you're listening to a podcast or a video or a blog, like, comment, share, do all those things as well. Because what I need you to understand is, with society's rigid expectations and endless opinions of self-expression and self-appreciation can feel challenging, let alone daunting, right? Most of the time, you know, I say this all the time at the end of my podcast, we push things away. We dumb down. We hide our feelings. We hide who we really are. And we just go with the flow. We just ride the wave, right? But you are you unapologetically. And that means being true to how you were created and not allowing people's opinions to affect how you show up in life, how you show up in the world. Mm-mm. You have no time whatsoever to be intimidated by the presence of others and think little of yourself. You have no time for that. So when you show up without pretense, or hesitation, the world cannot and will not dull your glamour. Why? Because you will not allow them to. And most importantly, you will be inspired to shine your light so brightly and to share it with others who need it so badly, and allow others to tap into their own brilliance because you shared your light. So how about we all agree to put an end to this disparaging mindset and begin to own our authentic self? Please join me here in a safe space where I'm going to always initiate influential conversations about you being you, because you are you unapologetically, and no one is better at being you. No one. So thank you for tuning into this episode today. I hope that this reminded you of your brilliance, of your worth, and most of all, of your power. So until next time, keep being bold, keep being kind, and most importantly, keep being you, because you are you unapologetically. Ciao, ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode. May this transformational discussion shift your mindset so you can live in possibility, so you can step higher in your greatness and stand bolder in your brilliance. Do not wait another minute. Start now to uncover your greatness and begin to fall madly, madly, did I say madly, in love with you. The journey to unleashing and owning your true self doesn't end here. Be sure to subscribe to the show at KimRGrimes.com. Leave a rating and gear up for more conversations like this one. See you on the next episode. And remember, you are not a mistake. You are you, unapologetically.